This is KJZZ's Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman. Good day to you. We present this podcast to you with a daily digest of what's happening here in Arizona. It is reported by our award-winning KJZZ news team. It is Wednesday, February 26th, middle of the week. We can almost see the weekend. And let's keep it moving and check on the news. The new Maricopa County recorder, Justin Heap, is threatening to sue the County Board of Supervisors. Heap wants the supervisors to return election management responsibilities. Former recorder Stephen Richards ceded to the board last year before he left office. From the politics desk, Wayne Schutzke reports.
Richard and the board agreed to a new election services agreement, which lays out each party's election administration responsibilities. As part of the deal, the supervisors took over early ballot processing, which includes verifying those ballots before they are counted. Heap accused the board of violating state law by reducing his involvement in early voting, and he calls the agreement between Richer and the old board invalid. Board Chairman Thomas Galvin says conversations between the supervisors and recorder over the election agreement are ongoing and accused Heap of, quote, factual errors. The responsibilities removed from the recorder's office, such as early ballot processing, can be overseen by the board or recorder under state law. Wayne Schutzke, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, Arizona Republicans rejected Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs's pick to lead the state housing department Tuesday. Also from our politics desk, Cameron Sanchez reports the governor will need to pick a new agency director.
Senators are tasked with approving or rejecting the governor's picks to lead state agencies. In 2023, GOP lawmakers criticized nominees and recommended rejecting ADOH Director Joan Service. Hobbs tried to circumvent the Senate confirmation, but lost in court. Service is the first agency director to get thrown out this legislative session. Senator Annalise Ortiz says it's because of politics.
I cannot believe that we are sitting here debating the qualifications of a lifelong public servant in an attempt for the majority party to try to weaponize this moment against the governor.
Republicans cited instances of plagiarism in a former role as a reason to reject Service. They also noted that an audit found the housing department gave $2 million to bad actors impersonating a nonprofit, although that money was recovered through insurance. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, known as ACCESS, provides coverage for more than 2 million lower-income or disabled people. But cuts to the Medicaid program could be coming under a bill advancing in the state legislature. Catherine Davis-Young has details on that.
ACCESS is jointly funded by the state and federal government, but some in Congress have proposed slashing those federal funds. House Bill 2926 says if that federal funding falls below what it is now, the state would eliminate coverage for some adults under 65. Representative Michael Carbone is the bill's sponsor.
It refocuses Medicaid on those who truly need it. Those are seniors, children, the disabled, and pregnant women. Expansion now covers able-bodied adults earning over $20,000 a year with no accountability.
Opponents argue the bill would leave about 66,000 Arizonans uninsured, including hundreds of adults with serious mental illnesses and thousands of cancer patients. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A Ninth Circuit panel has affirmed a trial court's decision that Arizona laws requiring proof of citizenship to vote in presidential elections and to vote by mail violate federal law. Here's Ben Giles once again from our politics desk.
Federal law only requires that a voter must attest under penalty of perjury that they are a U.S. citizen, and courts have consistently ruled that federal law supersedes that of the state when it comes to federal elections, like the presidential and congressional races. The Ninth Circuit majority reaffirmed those rulings and found that Republican lawmakers acted with discriminatory intent in 2022 when they adopted laws intended to enforce the state's proof of citizenship requirements on Arizonans voting in federal elections. Senate President Warren Peterson, one of the GOP lawmakers who intervened to defend those laws, vowed to take the latest ruling to the Supreme Court. Ben Giles, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, moving to northern Arizona, Navajo government officials had asked Energy Fuels, the owner of the uranium mine south of the Grand Canyon, to reroute its trucking of uranium ore around the Navajo Nation. Navajo EPA Administrator Stephen Etzedi said the Forest Service had approved the route in its environmental study of the mine. Governor Katie Hobbs last fall asked the agency to revisit the issue, but in a town hall-style meeting on Tuesday, Etzedi was not optimistic about that happening.
That is something that was started last year. I'm not sure if it's going to continue under this new administration with a new president.
A Kaibab National Forest spokeswoman told KJZZ News the agency is still reviewing the mine's approval, including the new information. Arizona has teamed up with a technology training company to offer training on the responsible and effective use of AI, artificial intelligence, for state employees. As Kirsten Dorman reports, they say the ultimate goal is to deliver public services more effectively.
According to Arizona's Department of Administration, a recent pilot program found that using generative AI could save employees up to 2.5 hours every week on doing things like summarizing and formatting information, taking notes, and writing code. This new training comes on the heels of other state AI projects that are already underway, like the Department of Public Safety's AI-assisted body camera review program and access using AI to simplify certain processes. More than 100 state employees have already started the courses, while agencies like the Arizona State Retirement System are making them mandatory for supervisors and IT staff. Kirsten Dorman, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
An executive order signed by Governor Hobbs will put together anti-drug operations with local law enforcement in Arizona's four border counties. From the Fronteras Desk in Tucson, Elisa Resnick has that.
Hobbs' office says Operation Desert Garden will use $28 million in state border funding and partner with local and federal law enforcement to identify, deter, and dismantle transnational criminal organizations within Pima, Cochise, Yuma, and Santa Cruz counties. The governor's office says her administration's been in contact with the federal government and local sheriffs about the plan. But Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels says he hasn't heard anything yet.
If you're going to be a true partnership task force, you would engage your partners to the point of what's the operation? What are we doing on this? What's this really mean? What's the impact? What do I need to have? What are my needs going to be based on what they're asking and what they're doing?
Daniel says he's happy to support the operation, but needs more information on incarceration, court, and personnel costs to his county. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Well, President Trump said on Monday that the across-the-board tariffs he's threatened for Mexico and Canada are set to go forward next week unless the three countries can come to an agreement. From the Fronteras Desk in Hermosillo, Sonora, in Mexico, Nina Krivinsky has the latest from that side of the border.
On a phone call in early February, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum made a last-minute agreement with Trump to delay tariffs on her country for a month. The new deadline is early next week. Coming up on the end of that suspension, she said during her daily morning news conference that talks with the U.S. were ongoing. After the tariff talks earlier this month, Sheinbaum deployed additional Mexican National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. She said during her press conference that she planned to have another phone call with Trump, but that a date and time hadn't yet been set. A 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada would most likely raise prices for consumers in the U.S. Sheinbaum has said that if tariffs on Mexico go forward, her country plans to levy retaliatory tariffs. Nina Krivinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
Well, some big sports news yesterday. Longtime Phoenix Mercury star Diana Taurasi, perhaps the greatest women's player of all time in basketball, announced her retirement. And as Haley Jimenez reports, her retirement comes after a two-decade career spent in Phoenix.
Diana Taurasi has worn the same jersey for 20 years. She is the all-time leading scorer in WNBA history and first basketball player to win 6 Olympic gold medals. In a Time magazine interview, she said, "I just didn't have it in me. That was pretty much when I knew it was time to walk away." Mercury and Suns owner Matt Ishbia says Diana is the greatest to have ever played the game. He added that she has had an incredible impact on the community, franchise, and game of basketball. Among her accomplishments, she hit more three-pointers than anyone in WNBA history, won 3 WNBA championships, and 3 NCAA championships along with her Olympic gold medals. Haley Jimenez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In other sports news, Suns continue to struggle. They lost in overtime in Memphis last night, 151-148, their 6th loss in 7 games. They lose despite having 5 players score at least 20 points for the first time since 1990. Devin Booker at 28. Suns now 4 games under 500 back home tomorrow night for the first of 2 against the New Orleans Pelicans. Baseball, the Diamondbacks lost to the Cubs in Mesa yesterday, 4-2, dropped to a 1-4 in spring play. Of course, don't count. And the Snakes back at Salt River Fields this afternoon to host the Brewers, 1 of 8 games around the Valley today. And that will do it for this Wednesday edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast. On this February the 26th, I'm Phil Latzman. Great having you as always. And we'll do this again tomorrow.